Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch, number 14. And it is May 18th, 2020. I'm not going to open a book tonight. I have a bunch here that I was considering. I'm just going to read, believe it or not, from Twitter. And I'm going to read from the account, just one thread. From this guy. Maybe you've seen some of his stuff. I'm not sure. His name is Alex Berenson. Alexberenson. Here's the thread. I've thought a bit about why the media blue checks hate me so. And let's be honest, they do hate me so. I'm nobody, really. I don't have a primetime news show or a syndicated column. I have all of 103,000 followers on Twitter, but I am a particular burr for three reasons. I'm a class traitor, not just because I worked for the Times for 10 years and wrote lots of hardball pieces about companies, not to mention our failures in Iraq. That makes me tough to dismiss as a right-wing nutter, much as they'd like to try. But I'm a class traitor in another, arguably more important way, too. The media, academic left, tries to cudgel its opponents with an attitude of mocking scorn and intellectual superiority. The president has been a useful foil for them in this, as they have been for him. But that game doesn't work with me. I'm as credentialed as the people shouting at me, only I follow the facts where they go. This is why these people hated Tell Your Children so much. One can know cannabis has serious mental health risks and still want it legalized. But the blue checks had been telling each other the same nonsense for so long. They genuinely didn't understand that cannabis was dangerous. They're still trying to figure out what to do with the news, and they can't stand knowing it. So yelling at me to shut up doesn't work, and trying to bait me into arguments doesn't work, and telling me my tone is wrong doesn't work, even when it is. I keep on merrily presenting studies and facts, and even if the media won't pay attention, other people will. And the email I get, which is overwhelming and overwhelmingly in favor of this effort, suggests many, many people, some fancy, some not, are sick of feeling mocked and told they're stupid for their sincere beliefs about the danger of the lockdowns. The second reason is I think it's clear by now that my wife and I practice what we preach. We don't fear COVID, not for ourselves or our kids, so accusing us of being hypocrites won't fly. As for those folk calling me a grifter, I've done this for free the last 2 months, with one minor exception. Hillsdale College paid me to make the video about the failure models. Maybe I'll write a book one day, maybe not. But financially, this has been nothing but a distraction. No matter. I never imagined John Wells would have the career he did, and I was always careful with the novel money, which was surprising, and we are a two-income family. The third reason is the most obvious. The hysterics have been wrong. They know it, whether they admit it or not, except for the most at-risk populations who should be the focus of our protective efforts. COVID looks to be a minor risk, and with every day that goes by, every state and country that reopens without catastrophe, the lockdowns appear more insane. We should all be thrilled about this fact, but too many of us aren't. So the media and the lockdown governors are stretching further and further to try to scare people. The recent pediatric stuff being only the grossest example. I'm going to keep calling them out. Plenty of other people will too, but not necessarily as aggressively. And now we come back to tone. Well, I'll be honest. As far as I'm concerned, I bite my tongue a lot of the time. If these blue checks knew what I really thought of them, or the damage they have done and are still doing by refusing to accept the data and facts and science, they'd hate me even more. Have a great night. Now, I don't know who this guy is. I've seen him come up from time to time. One of the sort of skeptics. It doesn't mean much one way or the other for me that he once wrote for the New York Times or wherever. Don't care. I don't like a lot of the... He's clearly irritated. He's clearly feeling a bit under siege. He's clearly kind of fighting back, swinging back. That's not necessarily helpful, but I'm not going to blame the guy. I would say that, you know, some of the stuff I've been reading and thinking about through this little dispatch thing is about proper sources of information. Good questions. I want the media, education systems, this kind of thing, critical thinking, reasoning, and on and on. What I find interesting is how much of this punditry is just shouting and evasive and distracting and inane. I wish there were some sort of media organ that could be cumulative instead of just, you know, 8 minutes to the next commercial break or whatever, and you just keep on moving on. Where can we go to see all of the questions? What is the stack of the questions that everybody everywhere should want to know about this virus and the response to? And how do we ever track what any of these people say? How do we keep track of who was right, who was wrong? And what are we supposed to do about the fact that so many are so often so glaringly wrong? We just ignore it. It doesn't seem that we assess this stuff properly. And it's so easy now just to tune into your own theme pack and high-five the screen and move on about your day. And, you know, Twitter's even worse. It reminds me of this passage from Michael Crichton. He invented something called the Gelman amnesia effect. I think he said he named it after Murray Gelman, a Nobel Prize winning physicist. And he named him that arbitrarily, though, only because it would lend more credence to the idea that he is espousing here. But it's a really interesting principle. And here is Crichton. Briefly stated, the Gelman amnesia effect is as follows. You open the newspaper to an article on some subject you know well. In Murray's case, physics. In mine, show business. You read the article and see the journalist has absolutely no understanding of either the facts or the issues. Often, the article is so wrong, it actually presents the story backward, reversing cause and effect. I call these the wet streets cause rain stories, papers full of them. In any case, you read with exasperation or amusement the multiple errors in a story and then turn the page to national or international affairs and read as if the rest of the newspaper was somehow more accurate about Palestine than the baloney you just read. You turn the page and you forget what you know. I'd like us to figure out how to stop turning the page and at least to stop forgetting what we know.